On daf Nun Hey Amud Beis of Maseches Bava Basra, we recommend printing out the dapim, and better yet, even ordering your volume of the Shas Ozer Maseches Bava Basra. The last time we had been discussing the issue of mafsikin, namely the Meitzar and Chatzov, and their ability to create separation. The idea of separation we saw has ramifications in different areas of halacha. Up till now, we made reference to Nichsei Hager, Peah, and Tumah. Today, we will be continuing with the final example, the example of Shabbos. We begin the Gemara on Nun Hey Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Rova Omar Afilu Le'inyan Shabbos. The Meitzer and Chatzov can act as a separation even with regard to Hilchus Shabbos, specifically halachas concerning tiltul, carrying from a Rishus Hayochid, from a private domain into a public domain. In order to be considered in violation of tiltul, so a person has to carry out a minimum quantity of a particular item. In the context of our sugya, we're going to be making a reference to a shi'ur, a quantity known as a grogeris, essentially a dried fig. If one carries out less than that amount, let's just say a chatzi grogeris, so that itself would not be mechayev a person for violation of Shabbos in the fullest sense, even though there's a concept of chatzi shir osur min haTorah, but we're not going to be discussing that here. What would the din be if one carries out from a private domain into a public domain a chatzi grogeris, and then carries out another chatzi grogeris? If he does so in one state of lack of awareness, he does it the first half and then the second half, not becoming aware that he did something problematic in the interim. So we'll see that the Tanakhama holds that can add up to a complete shiur, a complete quantity, and hence be chayev. If, however, he does it in two mindsets, namely he was unaware and then became aware that he did something questionable, or that he did the act and then lost awareness and carried out a second chatzi grogeris, he would not be chayev. The shita that's going to be of importance to us in this discussion is going to be Shitas Rabbi Yossi, who mentions that even if he carries it out in one continuous state of lack of awareness, nevertheless, if he carries it out into two separate domains, he will be exempt. The question that we will be dealing with here is what constitutes two separate domains. And as we go on in the Gemara, we'll try to illustrate that as well. So the Gemara here says, Rova Omar Afilu Le'inyan Shabbos, even with regard to Shabbos, the Meitzar and Groger and the Chatzov can create separation. Desanya. In the source itself, as you can see, a framed source, and in the marking system, the framed sections represent Tanaic literature. We're not going to see a direct reference to our examples of Meitzar and Chatzov. That will become part of the discussion as we proceed in the Gemara. So the source says, Hotzi chatzi grogeris l'rishus harabim v'hinicha, person carried from a private domain, a house, a courtyard, into a public thoroughfare, or a public square, marketplace, a chatzi grogeris, a half a grogeris of quantity, of item, v'hinicha, and placed it down, v'chozar v'hotzi chatzi grogeris acheris, and then he did a second half grogeris, transfer of location, carried from Rishus HaYochet to Rishus HaRabim. Behelam Echod Chayav. If he does it with one continuous state of lack of awareness, the two half shiurs add up to a full grogeris, and hence he'll be considered in violation of Hilchus Shabbos. Bishnei Halomas Potter, if however he experienced the state of awareness between the two actions, then they don't add up and he remains Potter, exempt. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Behelam Echad. Within the realm of one continuous state of lack of awareness, it depends. Birshus Achas Chayov, the Gemara at the top of Nun Vov Amid Aleph, tells us, this is the end of the source, that if it's within one domain, so he's responsible, he's culpable. B'shtei Rishuyos Potter. However, if it's in two separate domains, so then he will be exempt. And you notice there's a connector marking at the end of this source telling us to continue reading V'omar Rabba, the idea of two separate Rishuyos, Rabba explains, and Rabba will be the first of three opinions on this matter. Hence you see the numbering, 1 through 3. Rabba says that what is it that is going to break up the two Rishuyos? V'hu shiyesh chiyuv chatos beinehem. Avo karmel is slow. In the realm of Hilchus Shabbos, there are different kinds of domains. There are domains that are mechayev, a person that create guilt on a Torah level, and there are domains that create guilt only on a rabbinic level. And that's what Rabba is referring to here. And before we go any further, let us take a look at the little diagram that you find on the inside of the page. You notice the expression, we're going to say we're looking at with an aerial view of some houses. On the top of the diagram, you see a house, and at the bottom of the diagram, a house. And again, we're looking at this from an aerial perspective. As you walk out of the house, you encounter a Rishus HaRabim. As you walk out of the top house, you encounter Rishus HaRabim. And likewise, as you walk out of the bottom house, you encounter a Rishus HaRabim. The issue of the Gemara now is going to be what separates these two public domains. And you can see you have listed on the diagram Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. These are three separate possibilities. In other words, these three cases don't exist at once. According to Rabba, the type of domain that separates these two Rishus HaRabims would have to be something that he called a Chiyuv Chatos Beinehem, namely another Torah-oriented, Torah-based domain, namely a completely private domain known as Rishus HaYochid. Therefore, let's go over Rabba's din, using the idea that was expressed in the Brice of carrying out a Chatzi Groveris, a half a shiur. Let's start from the top of the diagram. A person carries out from his house to the public thoroughfare a Chatzi Groveris, namely half the required amount to create culpability. Then he carries out from the bottom house another Chatzi Grogeris to that Rishus HaRabim. If there is a Chiyuv Chatos Beinehem, the person will not be Chayev. Namely, if there is another private domain that splits these two Rishus HaRabims, then the two half shiurim, half quantities, do not add up. However, if a rabbinic domain known as a karmelis is positioned between these two Rishus HaRabims, then the two chatzi grogros will combine to mechayev, to create guilt of violation of Hilchus Shabbos. The next opinion, Abaye Omar, the third line from the top in the Gemara, he says, Afilu Karmelis, even if the domain that exists between these two Rishus HaRabims happens to be of a rabbinic nature, the Chatzi Shiurim, the half quantities, will not join up to create culpability. In other words, the two Rishus HaRabims are considered sufficiently split from one another, hence the Chatzi Shiurim cannot add up. Aval pislo lo. However, if, let us say, that between these two highways, there is a long pislo, a log, a big piece of wood that runs parallel to these Rishus Rabbams that in effect split them up. However, according to Abaye, legally there is no split. Hence, the two Rishus HaRabims will be considered joined. And hence, when he carries out a half shiur to the first Rishus HaRabim and then a subsequent half shiur, half quantity to the second Rishus HaRabim, he will be chayav. The third opinion in the Gemara is Rova Omar Afilu Pisla. Even a log that runs between these two Rishus HaRabims will, in effect, split them up. As far as our sugya is concerned, the issue of the Meitzar and the Chatzov would play a similar role. Hence, we brought this in to our discussion of their ability to split the Rishus HaRabims from one another. Of course, the will a Meitzar or Chatzov split? So since we're dealing with Rava, we see Rava's approach to Hilchus Shabbos, namely the log splits. So Rava is telling us that the Meitzar and Chatzov will also be elements that can split the two Rishus HaRabims from one another. Hence, a Chatzi Shiur into one Rishus HaRabim and a Chatzi Shiur into the other Rishus HaRabim will not join up. The Gemara points out, now with regard to the log and the significance that Rava grants the log, this is consistent with Rava's teaching elsewhere. The Ozda Rava Lita'ame. Rava here is consistent with what he teaches elsewhere, the Omar Rava, Rishus Shabbos ki Rishus Gitin Domi. That just like in regard to Gitin, a log has significance as a separate domain, which we'll explain briefly in a moment. So too, with regard to Hilchus Shabbos, the log can have the identity of a separate domain. Briefly, the issue of the log in Rishus in Gittin, I think that the best thing for us to do would be to look at the Rashbam and his explanation. In the narrow lines, the Rashbam says, Ki Rishus Gittin Domi, Diamrina Maseches Gittin Behazorek, that's the name of a perek there in that Masechet, Im hikna lo chatzero lizgarish, a husband is planning to divorce his wife, and he gives her a chotzer, a courtyard, and says, "This courtyard is to be yours." Vizorak lo get. He stands outside the courtyard and throws the get, the divorce document, into the courtyard that became hers, and he's loaning her the chotzer, he's granting her rights to the chotzer. V'nofal al hapisla shebechotzer, and the divorce document fell on a log lying in the chotzer. Eino megureshes, she's not considered divorced. D'hapisla mokoim acher hu b'fnei atzmo, v'eino b'chlal chotzer. The log is considered a separate entity from the chotzer, and it's not considered contained within the chotzer on a legal basis. Namely, even though physically the log is in the chotzer, legally it's considered a separate entity. The chotzer hikna lo velo pisla. What did the husband grant her? He granted her use of a chotzer, not use of the log. The chad mokum moshul inish, trey mokum is lo moshul inish. The rule being that when a person loans to someone else a domain for his use, he loans to him one domain, not two domains. Hachim afreshin lahosom v'koma rova rishus Shabbos doimil rishus Gittin. And that's Rava's point, that the rishus, the halochas, the rules concerning domains of Shabbos are similar to those concerning divorce law. Dochinami linyan Shabbos haviach pisla mokom choshev b'fnei atzmo mechalik rishuyos imhu mumutza b'intayim. Just like we saw in Gittin, the log creates a separate entity, it's considered a separate entity, so too the log lying between the two public domains will be considered something that sufficiently splits. Techihechi to lobotil pisla gabi chotze, just like in the case of Gittin, the log was not considered a subset and hence absorbed into the chotzer. Hachinami lo botil hachol inyan Shabbos legabi rishus rabim. Similarly, the log that runs between these two Rishus HaRabims does not become absorbed into the respective Rishus HaRabims and maintains its own identity. Continuing in the Gemara, we notice a semicolon. This indicates a partial break in the flow of thought. We're going to now encounter a question, and the understanding of the question itself is subject of machlokas, of controversy between the Rashbam and the Tosfos. As far as the Rashbam is concerned, the Gemara is asking, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that said the Meitzer and Chatzav are mafsik in Nichsei Hager, namely, if there's a piece of property that was owned by a convert who died without descendants, and there was a row of chatzof plants running down the middle of this piece of property, they're considered two separate pieces of property. Hence, if he makes a kinyan chazok on one side of this row of chatzof plants, or one side of this border that's running down the middle of the field, he will not gain ownership of the others, of that which is on the other side. The question now is, reading in the Gemara, Ein shom lo meitzar velo chatzov, mai. Let's say there is neither one of these things, and you have an area that's not bounded. It doesn't have clear boundaries. What would Rabbi Yochanan say regarding what type of action one has to do in order to gain ownership of the entire area? As far as other opinions, we've seen other opinions on this topic. We saw Rav and Shmuel address this earlier. But since we're dealing with a sugya that featured Rabbi Yochanan in it, along the way, we had seen Rabbi Yochanan on Nun Hey Omid Aleph. So the Rashbam claims we want to know what his opinion would be. So we're talking about an unclearly marked area belonging to a ger that died, and we want to know how much does he have to do in the area in order to gain possession. That is, someone who wants to possess the area that was owned previously by the convert that just died. So, Ein Shom Lo Meitzar Velo Chatzov Mai. Pirush Rabbi Mirenus Mishmo. According to the Rashbam, the means that Rabbi Mirenus explained in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Shenikres Al Shmo. The whatever area is considered, people call this so-and-so's field. So by making a kinyan chazaka, even on a small spot, that's, we saw the expression makushecha, digging your shovel in and turning over the dirt, even in one spot, that will gain him ownership of the whole area. Heichi domi, give us an example. How is this speaking? He'll give us an example of Kol Shenikres Al Shmo, Omar Rav Papa, De Korule Be Garguso De Planya. Let's see the Rashbam. Be Garguso De Planya, Kol HaSode Shohoyo Hager Mashke Mi Boiroi. The whole area that the ger used to water from his water pit, Kono HaKol B'makush Echot. So, in simple terms, if you have a plot of land, an area that the neighbors refer to, oh, that's so-and-so's Begar Gusa, that will be acquired through the turn of one shovel. Yosef Rav Acho Bar Avya Kameda Rav Asi, V'Yosef V'Komar Mishmeda Rav Asi Bar Chanina. Chatsuvo Mafsik B'Nichsei Hager. The chatsuva plant can create, or does create, a separation in the area that was owned by the convert that died. This is in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan's teaching on Nun Hey Omen Aleph, that he said there that Meitzar and Chatzav are things that split, so that if you make a kinyan on one side of this row of chatsuv plant, you do not gain ownership on the plot of land on the other side of this row of plant. My chatzuva. The Rashbam explains on this question of it's my chatzuva eze dovar hu umay chashivuso lehechoshev kemetzar. What is its significance in its ability to be considered a form that which forms or creates borders? We see a marking that draws our attention to the key on the side, the mivneh, which explains the role of the markings. Memros shel Rav Yehuda Marav. These are statements of Rav Yehuda Marav that are double underlined. The first one answers this question. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav sheboi, that through it, namely through the chatzov, tichem. Tichem is to create boundaries. There's another common word, tchum. So it creates boundaries between the different tribes. Shebo tichem Yehoshua li Yisrael esor. It's when Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael with the Jewish people and he split up the land into separate tribes. This plant he used to plant on the borders between the different tribes to create the borders. The significance of this plant is that its roots grow directly downwards and don't draw nutrients from either side. Hence, it creates a very distinct border. What you see on top is what exists down below as well. The Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav lo mono Yehoshua ela ayoros ha'omdos al hagvulin. In the book of Yehoshua, the book of Joshua, there are psukim that list cities after cities. What's the significance of those cities that are listed in Sefer Yehoshua? He says those are cities that used to be on the borders between the different tribes. Hence, when one would notice the cities that were named in the Sefer Yehoshua, and then one encountered those cities in practice, he would know that those cities constitute the borders between different tribes, border towns. Omar Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Kol Shereu HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu was about to die, so he wasn't allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, he was shown Eretz Yisrael from the other side of the border. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu Eretz Yisrael. So everything that he saw, the whole area that he saw, Chayav B'Meiser, that area would eventually be Chayav in the Meiser tithes. La'afuke Mai, so what area is not going to be bound to the Meiser tithing? La'afuke, to the exclusion of the following areas, the area known as Kini, Knizi, V'Kadmoni. Taking a look in the Rashbam, Chayov B'Meiser, Dehem Heim Zayin Amamim Haksuvim B'chol Mokum. The area that Moshe Rabbeinu saw was the area that's known commonly as the area possessed by the seven nations that held the land before Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. Avol, Kini, Knizi V'Kadmoni, Shenosnu La'avrom Avinu B'bris Bein Absorim. These are three other areas that were granted to Avram Avinu in the original covenant. Lo yischaivu b'maiser la'osid lavo kishi yachzirom lanu la'osid. When we get hold of those areas, that they occupy areas beyond the seven nation area, those areas will not become bound to tithing. Continuing in the Gemara, Tanya, we have a Tanaic source that goes till the Mishnah. The Tanoim in this Brisa are all dealing with the names Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni, and they're arguing as to what areas are they known by today. Namely, in the time of these Tanoim, they took on different names. So they're all dealing with explaining what is the area of the Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni. So the source begins, Rabbi Meir Omer, Naftucha, Arvo'o, V'Shalmo'o. Names of places that were familiar to Rabbi Meir, and his claim is those were the areas that were mentioned to Avraham Avinu that were held by the Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Har Seir, Amon, Umoav. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ardiskis, Asya, Veaspamya. We now come upon a new Mishnah. Hoyu Shnayim Me'idim Oisoi She'ochlo Sholosh Shonim. This Mishnah deals with testimony concerning the Chazakah of 3 years. Two witnesses say testimony that so-and-so was using the area, the ground, for 3 years. V'nimtzu Zomim, and then it turned out that they were lying, but lying in the specific sense of Zomimim. This is a process where two other witnesses come along and testify concerning the first two. How could you testify about these matters when you were with us during the time that you claim to have witnessed whatever you're testifying about? So once the first two witnesses are indicted and convicted as being Zoymimim, Mishalmin Loi Es Hakol, they have to compensate the one they were trying to cause a loss to of the entire amount. So if they were claiming that so-and-so was occupied the field, and hence the original owner would supposedly lose out, so they were trying to grant, through their testimony, ownership to the second guy, who was the machzik. In effect, they were trying to cause a loss to the first guy. The halacha here says they have to compensate for the entire loss that they were trying to create. Continuing with the halachas of Eidim Zomimim, in the context of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, Shnayim Borishona, two witnesses that testify about the first year of Chazakah. Shnayim Bishnia, two more witnesses, two different people, testifying about the second year of Chazakah. Ushnayim Bishlishis, and a third set of two witnesses, we now have a total of six people in our picture, that testified about the third year. And then they're missing words as far as understanding the Mishnah is concerned. And then you have to add here, they were all found to be Zomimim. Mishalshin Beinehem. In other words, each set of witnesses will pay a third. Continuing with another example of Eidim Zomimim, Shloisho Achim V'Echod Mitztaref Imohem. Imagine the following. You have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And a fourth individual, we'll call him Bill, that joins up with them as follows. Bill and Reuven testify about the first year. Bill and Shimon testify about the second year. Bill and Levi testify about the third year. Bill, in effect, is testifying about all 3 years. But in order for halacha to have meaning in the realm of witnesses, you have to have two witnesses. So Bill is joining up with each brother regarding a separate year. Hare Elu Shalosh Edios. They're considered three separate sets of witnesses. And one should not think that since brothers are involved in the testimony, and as many of you might know, relatives, first-degree relatives, cannot testify together. This is not considered a situation of brothers testifying together. We're viewing each year of Chazakah as a separate entity. The Mishnah also says, V'hein edus achas lahazoma. What does that mean? So we'll take a look at the Rashbam. V'hein edus achas lazoma shim huzmu mishalshin beinehem. One point is that if these four people are indicted as being zomimim, namely two other witnesses came and said regarding this group of people, the three brothers and Bill, the outsider, if they were was testified concerning them, you were with us elsewhere at the time your testimony supposedly took place, they will each pay, each brother and Bill will pay a third of in effect, Bill will be paying for half of the costs, and each brother a sixth. But each pair will be paying a third. The Rashbam adds, "V'gam ein nizomin ad shiyazumu kulan," and in order to create hazoma, there's another rule. We're not really going to get into it over here, but in order for the rule of hazoma to set in, namely, what they were trying to cause to someone else, they have to pay when they're found to be liars. In this case, they were trying to cause someone loss of his property, so they have to compensate him for what they were trying to do. The halacha of hazoma sets in only when all of the witnesses in question are found to be zomimim, not if part of them. The Gemara continues, noting that our Mishnah is not in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Before we go into the Gemara, let us take a look at the note on the side, the Nosei, the topic heading. Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva v'chachomim, ma bo lema'et ha-pasuk. What does the following pasuk try to exclude in the realm of Edus? You find the term dovar, al pishnayim edim o shlosha edim yokum dovar. So the word dovar appears there, and the word dovar is understood to be excluding velo chatzi dovar. Witnesses must testify about a complete unit, a complete entity, and not half an entity. Ma nechshav chatzi dovar deboinon kro lema'et. What's considered that half entity or that partial entity that without the pasuk I would not have known, that only because of the pasuk I know it doesn't constitute a unit of testimony. So our Mishnah that considered three groups of witnesses, namely group one on year one, group two on year two, and group three testifying that so-and-so continued there for the third year, our Mishnah considered that legitimate testimony. That even though you don't have two witnesses testifying about an entire three-year period, the fact that two witnesses testified about 1 year, that is still considered a complete unit of testimony. And hence, these three complete units can add up to form a chazoka of Gimel Shonim. However, if you were to hold that only testimony on a complete unit of 3 years, that constitutes a single unit of testimony. Hence, if you had testimony concerning 1 year, that's not considered a complete unit. It's considered a partial unit. So this happens to be Rabbi Akiva's opinion, not like our Mishnah. We'll also note in the markings, there's a long note marking. It says nun, which means nikuda, a point. The point includes this entire Tanaic source that you see in a frame. The point being, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Masnisin, de lo ke Rabbi Akiva. The Rashbam adds, de lo ke Rabbi Akiva, de lo Rabbi Akiva, lo mahani edusan klal. These three separate units of testimony will not be effective, according to Rabbi Akiva. No one set of witnesses is testifying about a complete chazoka, the shalosh shanim. That's the unit of chazoka, namely 3 years constitutes a chazoka. What are they testifying about? Elo al shlish chazoka, vaynu chatzi dover. They're testifying about a third of a chazoka. And as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, that's considered a chatzi davar, and that's what's excluded by the pasuk. Desanya, the source begins, Omar Rabbi Yossi, kishaholach abo chalafta itzel Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri lul Motara. The Amri law, another version, in fact an opposite version, Notice the squiggle underline. This is a marking we use to distinguish between two versions or two options. So the other option in terms of the story over here is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he went Eitzel Abba Chalafta Lilmot Torah. Omarlo, so when one went to the other to learn Torah, he said, Hare she'ochlo shona rishona b'fnei shnayim. You have a person occupying someone's land, and he's using it as an owner would use it, and he's doing it in front of two witnesses. Shnia b'fnei shnayim. Shlishis b'fnei shnayim. The second year, in front of two others. The third year, he continues there. The machzik continues there in front of a third set of two. Mahu. What is the din? Does the person who has been using it in front of these six people year after year, namely two the first year, two the second year, and two other guys the third year, does he gain a chazaka? Omar lo. So he responded, Hare zu chazaka. It constitutes a full-fledged chazaka with testimony. Omar lo, af ani omer kein. I agree with that. Elosh Rabbi Kiva cholek badavar. Rabbi Kiva disagrees on this point. Shoy Rabbi Kiva omer, davar velo chatzi davar. We made reference already to this pasuk earlier, that Rabbi Akiva says that only testimony concerning 3 years by one set of witnesses, that constitutes a full unit of testimony, a complete unit of testimony. Velo chatzi davar, but not a situation like this, where each set is testifying about a third of a chazaka. As the Gemara goes on, the Gemara is curious. Fine, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion as to what a chatzi dovor is. What would be the Rabbonans, those rabbis who disagree with Rabbi Akiva, namely our Mishnah? What would be their opinion of what constitutes a chatzi dovor? We just saw that as far as they're concerned, as far as the Rabbonan are concerned, two witnesses testifying about one of 3 years is not a chatzi dovor. It is considered a complete unit of testimony. Hence, these 3 years can join up to create a chazaka. So what do they view as an example of a chatzi dovor? That's the Gemara's question. V'rabbonan hai chatzi dovor, hai dovor velo chatzi dovor mai avdilei. What do they learn from it? We notice in the markings we have a 1 and a 2 with this broken underlining. Ilema is underlined here, and then 2 lines later, Ela. These are stages in trying to figure out what the Rabbonan would exclude as legitimate testimony. Before we go on, it's necessary to give a word of introduction to the topic that's going to be mentioned here, the example. In order for an individual to be considered adult in Jewish law, they have to produce what's known as shtei sairis, two hairs indicating adulthood, pubic hairs. These two hairs are necessary in order to constitute adulthood. The appearance of one hair is not enough. As far as the shita we're going to be dealing with here, the two hairs don't have to be located literally together or right next to each other. They can be located in different parts of the necessary area of the body, and still, since there are two of them, they are considered, the presence of two hairs is a consideration to establish adulthood. Adulthood, obviously, referring to culpability and abilities in the whole realm of mitzvah performance and avera violation. The first suggestion in the Gemara is going to be, maybe, what is an example of a chatzi dovor? And this, of course, will be rejected. But the suggestion is, you have two witnesses. One testifying about one hair in location A on the body. And one witness testifying about a second hair on a different location. The Gemara will reject that suggestion out hand. That's not considered testimony on a chatzi davar. That's considered half testimony on a chatzi davar. Namely, you don't have two witnesses on anything in the example we just gave. You've got only one witness on a half entity. And that's obviously not going to join up. In other words, I don't need a pasuk. I don't need a verse to exclude something that on my own I would have concluded. The Gemara then will answer what is the example to be excluded by virtue of the pasuk. It will be the following. Imagine you have two witnesses. That's considered as a complete unit as far as the witnesses are concerned, because you have two. But the two witnesses testify about one hair in location A, and then another two witnesses testify about the location of a second hair in location B. That, without the pasuk, I might have thought they can join up. You have two witnesses on this and two witnesses on that. Let them join up. In fact, we saw something similar in the case of the Chazaka of Gimel Shanim. We saw two witnesses on year one, two witnesses on year two, and two on year three, and they did join up. In this case, though, even the Rabbanan will say they do not join up. And that's what I learned from the pasuk of Dovar Velo Chatzi Dovar. So let's read this in the Gemara. If the Rabbanan would be using the pasuk to exclude, limute, to exclude, echad omer, one witness says, achas begabo, one hair on gabo, which is, we'll call that location A of the body, ve'echad omer, and one witness says, achas bekresa, that the one hair was located on kresa, which we'll refer to as location B. The Gemara rejects this suggestion. I don't need the verse to exclude that. Hai, chatzi dovar, chatzi edusi. That's not just chatzi dovar. That's not just testimony on half an entity. That's half a piece of testimony. In other words, that's half witnesses. And that is obviously not going to constitute anything of significance. Even without the pasuk, I would know that. Elo limute shnayim oimrim. Achas begabo, rather the pasuk is necessary to exclude the case where you have two witnesses saying that there was one hair in location A, ushnayim omrim, and two witnesses saying, achas bekresa, that we saw a singular hair on kresa location B. As far as the analysis is concerned, what's the difference between two witnesses on singular hairs that don't join up, and two witnesses on singular years, namely two separate sets of witnesses on singular years where they do join up? The answer to that is found in the Rashbam, and a suggested approach is that as far as testifying about years and testifying about hairs, there's a qualitative difference, and it might be suggested for us to wait for the Gemara itself to deal with this difference. However, we can offer a little bit of a preview, and we'll say as follows. In the case of the hairs, the two hairs were there at one time. In other words, the two witnesses that testified about one hair could have testified about two hairs, but they didn't. However, in the case of Chesas Gimel Shonim, when you're testifying about a particular year, the next year isn't around at all. So the two witnesses that testified about year one could not have testified it about year two, because year two didn't come around yet. Gemara continues. Omar Rav Yehuda. Echad omer ochlo chitim. One witness says that the machzik used the property for 3 years cultivating wheat. The Echad Omer, one witness, says, Ochlo Surim, that during those same 3 years, the Machzik was cultivating barley. Now, they are both agreeing that the Machzik, the user, was there for 3 years. But there's disagreement between the two witnesses as to what he was using, what he was producing. Is this reliable testimony? The Gemara says, Harei zu chazoka. It constitutes reliable testimony. Maskif lo Rav Nachman ela me'ata. Well, according to what you're saying, Echod omer, ochlo rishoino shlishis v'chamishis. One witness says that he used the field first year, third year, and fifth year. The Echod omer, ochlo shnio revius v'shishis. That he used it second year, fourth year, and sixth year. Hochi nami dehavya chazoka. Are you going to suggest that they join up to create a chazoka? Amar le Rav Yehuda, hachi hashta. How can you compare the two examples? The example of the wheat barley versus the example of these alternative years. Hasam b'shosa de ko masid mor, lo ko masid mor. In the case of the 135246, the year that witness 1 is testifying about is not the same year that witness 2 is testifying about. Hacha, but in the case of the wheat and barley, Trevayu Bechado Shosa Komicity. They're both testifying about his use of the field during the same years. My Ikolamema, what objection could you possibly raise? Something about their being inaccurate with regard to what was being cultivated. Bein chiti lisari lava da tayu di inshi. People don't pay attention to the relatively fine difference between the wheat plant and the barley plant. So as far as the witnesses are concerned, they cannot be considered contradictory testimony with regard to the issue of wheat and barley. As we said, that's something people don't pay close attention to. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.